If we stop to think about the many companies and brands we interact with daily, using their products or benefiting from their services, it is likely the case that the ones which have the most meaning to us are those whose offering directly reflects the ethos of the founder and people that work there. Think about the items that you use every day, pieces of clothing you treasure, or your favorite bar or cafe. When you buy into a brand, we go along on a journey where we come to understand exactly what a company is about, where they are going, and what that brings to our lives. It makes supporting them meaningful, and when we do a little inventory on where we spend our money, means that transaction becomes more valuable. You're listening to The Entrepreneurs with me, Daniel Bage. On this week's episode, a conversation with Sophia, Georgia, and Nina Scott, the co-founders of Ground Truth, a technical accessories brand making pieces meant to withstand the world's harshest climates, while also tackling pollution and the damage we do to our own planet. The three British sisters came together to launch a company which not only leans on their collective experience and reflects their story, but is creating a product and content aimed at impacting the things they are most passionate about. The three British sisters came together to launch the company, which not only leans on their collective experience and reflects their story, but is creating product and content aimed at impacting the things they're most passionate about. Georgia and Sophia are documentary filmmakers and founders of Ground Truth Productions. They've spent years circling the globe covering environmental and humanitarian concerns for the likes of UNICEF and Human Rights Watch. And one thing they've seen time and again is the impact plastic pollution has on our planet and human beings. They also needed bags and kit for their gear, which could stand up to the rigors of their travels. Enter Sister Nina, a textile specialist dedicated to fabric innovation and carbon-neutral production, and creating transparency in supply chains. Together, they've created a line of products made from recycled plastics and are using their expertise to showcase the brand's production journey. Here's my conversation with Georgia, Nina, and Sophia Scott, founders of Ground Truth. We hear first from Sophia.
I guess Ground Truth really is all about making a positive difference and giving really positive solutions to climate change and to the whole environment that we all share. For us, it really started on the ground. Georgia and I, as filmmakers, traveling around the world, filming people really affected by whether it was climate change, drought, famine, or conflict. And we really saw these negative effects on people's lives. And we recognized that we should try and do something about it. We never had the right backpack. We saw a lot of plastic. And we thought, let's try and combine those two by making a really beautiful, functional, stylish bag. But that actually cleans up some of our rubbish. Also to show that you can make something that really works, that's highly functional and durable out of plastic waste.
That's fascinating. I want to talk a lot about the bags and the accessories and the design and idea behind that. But just to track back a little bit, I wonder if we could talk about where the idea was to sort of marry a consumer brand like that with the filmmaking and production you were doing. Perhaps Georgia, you could talk to us a little bit about that.
We really applied all the years of filmmaking on the road, out in the field. We had a very journalistic approach, very investigative approach to filmmaking, where we would spend long periods of time on the ground. And I think that we applied those skills to starting a business. So our supply chain, we visit every step of our supply chain from A to Z. So that was a really vital part of us starting this company. And also the fact that we didn't have the right backpack, you know, from filming on the borders of Syria to the jungles of Eastern Congo, to then going to the high rises of New York for meetings, we never had the right backpack to transit with us between those two different worlds. So that's where kind of the design ethos was really born, out on the road.
That's really, really interesting. And I'd love to talk more about the idea of the brand as a storyteller to continue the journey of telling stories as you do. But Nina, perhaps we could bring you in here. That, I imagine, relates well to your experience in trying to create something. Was it your sisters coming to you and saying, hey, we never had the right actual product, the right bag in the field? Talk to me about how you were brought into the fold in that sense.
Yeah, so about three and a half years ago, two of my sisters approached me and said that they've got this crazy idea and that they want me to come on board. I always knew that we would all work together. I just didn't know how. So I'm really happy that it turned out to be something that I've got some history in, which is textiles. It immediately felt right. We did a lot of research. We knew that we didn't want to make more plastic and more rubbish. So using plastic that's already out there and polluting our world was just, you know, it was just obvious to us. So yeah, it just was the beginning, really, when we all started using our brains and collaborating and growing together.
That's so interesting you say that you always knew that you would end up working together. Tell me about actually putting that into action. What was the first step? And I want to come back to talk about the production and the filmmaking and everything else, but talk to me about actually hitting the ground running and trying to make a product that hits all those things you just said, using less plastic, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely different working with my sisters. They're very free-spirited, kind of cowboy style. And I'm a little bit more organized and, you know, I like a good old list and I take my time and I really research things. So do they, but they do it out in the field much, much more. They're more comfortable like that. I think that's probably why we're such a good team, because I might bring a little bit more structure, but they kind of bring that real journalistic, let's turn every stone and research everything. So I think we started with just pure research. And then the next stage was, of course, going and visiting these places. And some of the places that looked really good on paper or when we spoke to them on Skype seemed perfect. But then when we went there, we were like shocked with either the workers' condition or we just didn't have, they, you know, Sophie or Georgia were like, can I film? They would say no. You know, that was always a red flag for us. So when we found our partners, it was just so obvious to us that it was a family factory. We're now a part of their family. So it just kind of, it was, yeah, it just worked out.
And Sophia, what was sort of the range that you envisioned? And talk to us a little bit about how those specific products you thought could help continue to help you tell the story of things you were seeing around the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think Georgia and I, you know, we were always out with our bags in mud or on a boat going up a river, you know, looking for orangutans or in refugee camps where it was just like a really quite a dirty environment, you know, where you need to keep your equipment safe and clean. But because at that time we were doing so much traveling, we were going on a plane where we needed to be able to just have all our kit in one space. Also, you know, this thing of camera bags often always really look like a camera bag. And I think in some environments, we didn't want to draw attention to the fact that we had expensive camera kit. So we really wanted to make this hybrid bag where we could take it with us seamlessly. And because we really do believe in buying more minimally. So we don't want to buy too many items. It's a waste. So that was kind of fundamentally at the heart was really the functionality in the design. And we spent a lot of time in the field testing the prototypes, which I found really amazing because I've always got camera kit. And that's kind of, you know, our bags are not solely for the camera person at all, but that's where it stemmed from. And I think that's made us look at every design with function at the forefront.
Yeah, I love that idea of sort of buying less and buying well for things that are both good looking and functional, of course, well made. George, I would just like to hear a little bit more about how you sort of tell the entire story. As we've heard, you've in past with Sophia had a journalistic view of so many things, and you continue to do this, as Nina pointed out, in actually researching the production. What was that like for you? And why was that important in sort of bringing together both this production, but also the filmmaking and everything all together?
Well, I think, you know, building a foundation of any business is the most kind of central, important part of it. You know, if you don't get the foundations right, things can go wrong. And especially in the fashion world, where it's the second most polluting industry in the world, there are lots of closed door things happening. So for us, the most important thing was to get transparency within every part of the business. So that's why if we put a camera in someone's face, say, hey, can we come and film this? And they said, no, for us, that would be a huge problem, because if they want to hide things, then that transparency isn't there. So I think definitely coming from a filmmaking background has really, really created our supply chain and what it is today, which is very green and very transparent. And again, that one-on-one communication, that, you know, face-to-face meetings is so vital in building relationships. And at the end of the day, relationships is one of the most important parts of building a business, and especially this kind of business where we want to create change within the fashion and manufacturing industry. So for sure, like, you know, and communications with the things that we film saying, look, these are the people who make this product. This is where they live. I mean, Sophia even went to film one of the managers of the sewing lines in her home having breakfast with her husband, you know, and Salim, the owner of the manufacturers, we're with him all the time. We go to trade shows with him. We travel with him. So for us, it's just like building those relationships, getting the team right to start something in the most positive way possible. I think that's really important.
Very well said. Sophia, you know, in this time when people are so interested in the things we touched on well-made products, but also in knowing where things come from and the sustainable element of things, how rewarding has it been to sort of tell the entire journey as you've grown the brand and grown the company and the range, but also what's the reaction been like?
We would never have entered the fashion manufacturing industry by using virgin materials. I mean, it is, as Georgia mentioned, the second most polluting industry in the world. Now, there's some fundamental things that I'm not prepared to do. So I'm not prepared to not travel because I believe that, you know, it increases ideas. It makes a difference. You can create change by meeting different people and working with different communities. So I wasn't going to sit at home and not travel. But I think if you can travel with purpose to create something great, then there's a real strength in that. So I think that we have to look closely at our everyday lives, but business makes the world go round. And I think at the heart of what we're trying to achieve is to show, and I hope this is true, that we can run a profitable business because money makes the world go round, but doing it in a really ethically and environmentally correct way. We're a small company. We only launched last year, so time will tell. But I think that it's really laying the foundations and looking at things with a long-term lens that is really important to us.
So I just want to point out that with the traveling, we do offset all of our carbon and we calculate religiously every journey that we take, if it's by plane, train, taxi. We even get the factory energy bills when we're in production. So we offset all of our carbon footprint. So as much as, you know, we encourage people to go out and see the world, if you can, and it is very doable now to offset your footprint, do it. And Wildlife Works are the people we've chosen, and they're fantastic.
Sophia, just back to you. You talk about that sort of long-term vision. I'm just so curious about how you see that growing and what sort of the next step would be. Is it an idea that the production and design, those selling those physical things will sort of fund further projects, as you say, on the production sense? What's the sort of vision of how those continue to grow together?
So I think it's really two-pronged. So we want to pioneer material innovations to show that you can use non-virgin materials like plastic waste, or we're now looking into algae, so the negative type of algae. I think for us, it's really pushing boundaries because consumerism is there. With us, we're in the travel industry to create products that help you travel, whether close to home or far afield. So we've started with bags, but we're also going to be looking at making certain clothing items. We have ideas about watches. We've started with plastic, recycled plastic. We're looking at other types of material that we can incorporate into that. And also partnerships. So we can only be as good as the people that we partner with. And I think we've got some really exciting projects coming up in the future where we're working collaboratively with other designers or organizations. And I think that's really key as well. I think often people research and create things for themselves and for their companies, but actually we're at a time where we need to share much more, have profitability, yes, but together.
You know, I think when something becomes fashionable, like being sustainable or having a recycled plastic puffer jacket or bag, people can cut corners. And I'm not saying, you know, everyone does this, but there is an element where people can cut corners. That's dangerous because you end up with something that maybe is even more harmful for the environment. So I think long term, I hope that Groundtruth can become known as this hub of innovation, research, but all based on transparency and truth. And what you see is what you get with Groundtruth. You know that it's going to be thoroughly researched and thoroughly tested. So the customer should have trust in Groundtruth that we've done our homework, you know. And I think that's a really important moving forward and how sustainability has grown in the fashion world. That is fantastic. But we have to look at the source of everything from A to Z. I hope that's what Groundtruth will be known for in the future.
There's one really key thing that is really at the heart of what we want to do long term. And I think everybody should look at everything with a long term lens. But we hope that if we are successful financially as a company, we would like to set up a foundation. And that's really been from the beginning of Georgia and I making films out in the field where we, you know, you witness a lot of suffering and you witness a lot of people, especially young people, that have got great ideas and aspirations, but they have no means to get the right education or the right experience. Now, we're really interested in leadership, and I think we have to look at that in today's world with elections around the world. It's very important to look at who is running for senior positions in government, and I would like Groundtruth to be able to play a part in that down the line where we can give young people, whether it's scholarships or work experience placements, and bringing different sectors, cross-pollinating different sectors together to create good, positive change.
Well, when you talk about impact, then I guess that's also double-pronged because you're talking not only about societal change, but also environmental as well. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nina, I would love to ask you just about material science and what is available out there now. Obviously, you are working to be leaders in that field of textile production and using alternative fabrics. But from a design sense and your background, that must be quite exciting to be sort of on the forefront of everything that's going on and being able to go and dig in and do the research yourself.
Yeah, it's been a really fascinating journey, and it definitely feels like it's just started. It's such an exciting time now for innovation and material, but you can only be as good as your partners because none of us are complete experts in the textile field. So, you know, when we found the Taiwanese company that also supplies some of Patagonia material, one, we know that they would have that sort of ground of support, basically, from Patagonia. We kind of had that trusted foot already. And then when we went and visited them and we built a relationship with them, and then we came to them with this idea of our GTRK001 material, they said, yeah, let's try it. So you have to have good partners to be able to run with an idea. But there's a very exciting thing that we're just exploring right now, and we're getting some samples made. I don't think I'll mention it because we're still in the very early days, but hopefully next year you'll see something very exciting from Ground Truth and with material.
Okay, something to watch. But if you want to mention it, that's fine. We can break the news here. Absolutely fine to do that. Just talk to me about the last little while, perhaps to you, Georgia. Obviously, we're in a strange place in the world, and you've talked so much about the importance of travel, getting out and meeting people, being on the ground, telling their stories, telling your own story. What's that been like for you and in the first year of the company?
Creating a startup and launching a startup is hard. And then when you throw a pandemic in there, it's virtually impossible. But I think that us three sisters, we have an incredible drive. And, you know, so far, nothing has stopped us, which is, I guess, a good sign. And, you know, digital world, Zoom calls, phone calls, we can still continue. And luckily, our manufacturers in Jakarta, they can still work. They have a good system in place. But it's definitely a strange time. And I hope that if there's one positive thing that can come from this pandemic, it's that people have had a moment to kind of stand still and look at their lives and also look at what we're doing to the environment. And these type of pandemics, they shine a huge light on why it's happened, what has caused it. And our movement into the natural world, into these environments which shouldn't be touched, is one of the huge reasons for such pandemics. So for us, we always try and look at things in a positive light and what can we learn from it. So I think there's a lot of things that we can learn from COVID. And also, I hope that it's made people look at their own doorsteps and what can they see in their own country and what wildlife exists in their own country. I think that's definitely on the increase, like internal tourism. So a Ground Truth backpack, yeah, you can take it on your travels far, far away, but you can also take it around the countryside in England or New York or wherever you are.
I also think with COVID and the fact that it's a virus that basically has come from humans' encroachment into nature, I think it's a really critical time. And I think people are already doing this, is really looking at our impact on the planet and how we shouldn't be overpowering nature, because essentially nature right now is overpowering us. I mean, we're under lockdown right now here. In some ways, it's obviously very challenging for everybody. But if it's also making us look at how destructive we are as a race, I think there's something good to be learned from that.
Well, that's really interesting. And on that point, you have partnered with some interesting people to not only test your products, but to continue to explore the world and to show human impact on our planet. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we really wanted to have proper environmental, important environmental stories attached to each of our ranges. Now, we've so far launched with the Ricker range, which has been trialed and tested by Robert Swan. He was the first man to walk unsupported to the North and the South Pole back in the 80s. He's really kind of campaigning for the treaty that currently protects the North and South Pole with his foundation called 2041. In the year 2041, the treaty runs out, which means essentially those areas will be open to oil drilling and all sorts of terrible things. So we are all about products, but we're also about storytelling. We like to highlight the work of important environmental activists. So George and I went back in 2018 to Antarctica with Robert Swan and a group of people on a small boat to really put through the first prototype that Nina and George had spent a solid month in the factory trying to get it together so that we could take it in time. And it was an incredible journey personally for ourselves, being in such a massive open expanse of ice. It was so quiet. There was no Wi-Fi or phones. And we really had time to see nature at its harshest and also to see the effects of climate change. I mean, the ice is melting. Rob Swan got off the small Zodiac boat with our bag and he jumped on the ground and he was like, this is wrong. There's slush ice underneath me. You know, 5 years ago, this was solid ice. So we found that it was a very moving time for us because we were surrounded by nature and it gave us massive amounts of drive to not just sell bags, to be honest, but to tell stories at the same time and get people to be inspired because nature is overwhelming and we should work with it rather than against it.
That's so interesting. And Georgia, you talked about the idea of sort of exploring areas closer to you when we don't have the ability to go further afield. But I imagine that will also turn people's attention to the problems that are visible and close to home and how we've impacted and harmed our planet in our lifetimes. That's so interesting. You might see it in a city and you might not have to travel to Antarctica or something like that to see that difference. Is that something you might try to highlight as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I went for a walk in the Norfolk countryside yesterday evening and I walked past 6 discarded face masks. And I think that we have to look closely everywhere. You go for a walk on the Norfolk beach and before you know it, you've picked up a whole bag of small, tiny little pieces of plastic. So this is not a responsibility of someone in a different country. This is a responsibility of all of us because each country has its own problem. And I think unless you start opening your eyes to it before it swallows you up, it's really important to do that. I hope that, you know, capturing these kind of stories that we've been doing in the past and what we'll be doing in the future will open people's eyes. And I think that's a really important part of Ground Truth as well, is to show what's happening to the world. And I just want to go back to quickly a little bit about one of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing is because Sophia and I have spent many, many years, you know, embedded in these refugee camps with people fleeing conflict and knowing that climate change will only accelerate tensions and escalate conflicts, knowing that more people will flee for climate change than conflict is one of the most overwhelming thoughts I think I've ever had, you know, and this is real. This is happening. You know, there's no denial of it. So if anybody can play a positive role in changing that future horizon, then we should all do that. So it's everyone's responsibility.
In your experience in seeing these things in conflict, did you sort of see a space where it would be up to companies or entrepreneurs to sort of fill a void and really show how things can be impactful in our world where governments or organizations might not be able to do that, but where we can have consumerism, but we can show where there's impact as well? Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and also we haven't trained in business. We never studied business. We haven't done scientific degrees or whatever on textiles. But what we do have is a vision. And I think if you have a vision or if you have an idea or if you have a belief, there shouldn't be anything in your path to try and achieve that. And I know that it's difficult and there's many bumps in the road. And trust me, this journey we've been on the last 3 years has been extremely difficult. However, as a team, we're moving forward. And the more people we meet with the same kind of mindset, with the same kind of values, the more inspired we get. And also taking a walk, again, out in the Norfolk countryside, I'm inspired by the beauty, by the trees, by the sun. So it has to be a group movement, but yes, sure, anyone can create change. You know, I believe that.
And I just want to add to that, you know, in relation to different organizations, whether there's definitely a place for the individual, but there's also a place for the collective. And I think, you know, we can't ostracize politicians. In fact, we need to encourage politicians to be better, to make better policy. I think what kids are taught in schools and universities really matters. And so I think it has to be a multi-pronged kind of approach to tackling, whether it's the environmental crisis or leadership crises in the world. I think it needs to be massive amounts of collaboration, to be honest.
Well, talk to me a little bit about how you can bridge that gap. You already mentioned the idea of sort of bringing people in maybe as apprentices or showing them how this would work. But how do we actually get government interested in backing ventures like this?
I believe that the consumer, the customer, has to drive that change. As the consumer, we need to be asking, what environmental impact does this product that I want to buy have? Or who made it? So we need to be asking the questions and the hard questions to push big corporations and big labels to change. Otherwise, they won't change. So I really feel, and that's kind of refreshing and kind of inspiring. We have the power in our hands. We just need to be asking the right questions.
I think we have to look at things long term, and there's no quick fixes. So if we're looking at politics, we need to look at what's being taught at school, what people are learning and what skills people are being equipped with is a really important ingredient to looking at the future. So what people can do, I think, you know, the media play a huge role. The media can influence. Coming from a media background, I was outraged actually for a long time, having lived on the African continent for 10 years. My career started there, and I often knew what was happening on the ground because I was there embedded with people. But then, you know, international crews would come out and they wouldn't have such an understanding. And so I think that's where Ground Truth really grew from, wanting to provide like long-term research or knowledge. And that's where the media has a big role to play, to be honest, because you need to be able to, it's not a quick fix or a quick soundbite. You need to look into things a bit more to understand. That's my opinion.
In a sense, is that why you continue to keep sort of the storytelling side of it as a core piece of the business, or as a main driver for what you want to do going forward?
They can't help it. They always have a camera in hand, and they're always filming something and asking questions. So it's actually really good and educational to be around.
Also, because, you know, you can tell a lot from someone's face and your voice. There's a huge power in our voice and our facial expressions, I think. So when you put a camera or a microphone to somebody, you know, really look or really listen, and you can hear actually and see a lot of the time the truth.
And I think it's so important to know the face behind the bag that you buy, or you know, the top that you're wearing. And so I mean, like nowadays, you just don't know. And usually if it's costing £6, there's a reason why it's costing £6. So like Georgia said, it has to come from the consumer, I think, as well.
Very well said. And Nina, just perhaps a last word to you. I would love to just hear, you don't have to reveal everything, but I would just love to hear about some of the other things that you might be working on as far as products and innovation in a material sense. It seems like such an important time for innovation in this space in fashion. And talk to me just a little bit about what we might see going forward.
Next year, we're going to be releasing our second range. It's going to be called the Under Range. It's our waterproof range, so perfect for your commuter, sailing, any water sports. And this is going to be oceanic colors. So our first range is very black and dark. So this one, we're using some interesting new dyes. We're also using a algae foam, which weighs much less than the current foam that we're using, which is a compressed felt. So we're continuously realizing that, you know, weight's a big issue with people. So, you know, we want to target that.
I think we're also really looking at how we can kind of close the whole loop. And that's a really important part of Ground Truth, is that we never want any of our products to ever end up in landfill. So we're really looking at ways that we can close the whole life cycle loop of a Ground Truth product. I want to make sure that sustainability is central and is key. But if you have a product that's not well designed, then people might not use it or they'll discard it. That's why we've put so much effort into the actual design process. For the next range, the Under Range, we're going to be doing huge amounts of testing. Sophia is going to be the ambassador for that range as a storyteller out in the Borneo rainforest, looking at people working towards protecting it. And so we're going to create the story around it, and it's going to be very, very sustainable, very eco-friendly, but it's also going to be very, very well designed. And that is a really, really important part of our philosophy and our belief system, is that if you can design a product that is like really near perfect, then people are going to be wanting to use it. So, and we put each and every single product through the test. I think you'll be seeing a lot of exciting new design developments and material innovations coming out over the next couple of years with Ground Truth. So it's going to be a very, very exciting time, I think, I hope.
Absolutely. And something fascinating to watch as well. Thank you all. This has been so fascinating. It's great to have you all on the same call. Wishing we could be in studio together, but Georgia, Nina, and Sophia, thank you so much.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Sophia, Nina, and Georgia Scott, the co-founders of Ground Truth. You can learn more about their story and product range at groundtruth.global. That's all for this week's episode. My thanks to Jack Jewers, who mixed and edited this show. I'm Daniel Bache. Thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.